Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Our scripture reading is found in Matthew 5:13, and this is the New King James Version. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men.
What a privilege to be here at the Midland Church today. And I want to say a special thank you to your pastor, Pastor Corey Herthel, and not only your pastor, but as most of you know, my best friend. And so I want to say thank you to Pastor Herthel for sharing his pulpit today. Just know that I value your pastor very highly and his family. You guys know that we love them very much. And so I want to say thank you publicly for him graciously allowing me to speak today in the church. Now, let's bow our heads. I just want to ask God to bless the message that maybe was something I can share today. It'll be a blessing to you. Let us pray. Loving Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I believe in all of my heart that your word is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And because your word is living and active, it has the power to change our lives. It has the power to shape our eternities. And so today, Father, I just come to you in humble submission and ask that you might please speak through me, that you might give me a word in due season for my brothers and sisters here in the Midland Church. And Father, as we open the bread of life, not only do I ask that you would speak through me, that you would give me the right words to say, but Lord, please touch the hearts, touch the minds of my brothers and sisters, that they might receive that meat in due season, that fresh manna that they need, that will sustain them today and through the coming week. So thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Quick survey, and I'm specifically wanting to target any young people out there that might be tuned in and paying attention, but I want to ask you a question. How many of you young people like vegetables? How many of you like vegetables? What's your favorite vegetable? Can you think of, right? I'm putting you on the spot, but do you have a favorite, huh? Peppers? Oh, man, I like some peppers. Do you like the bell peppers, the sweet peppers? Do you like the hot ones? I like the hot ones because you get that little bead of sweat. Oh, isn't that nice? Just a little heat to let you know you're alive. All right, another young person. Okay, you like vegetables? What's your favorite veggie?
My favorite veggie.
Don't tell me macaroni. Talk to me. What's your favorite veggie?
I have two.
Two? What's your favorite? If you had to pick one. Help him out, Dad. I saw a hand over here.
Carrots.
Carrots are good. I like some carrots. And tomatoes. I'm not sure tomatoes are a vegetable, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. How about you?
Sweet.
Now, listen. I'm from the South. They are not sweet potatoes. They're sweet taters. Okay? They are sweet taters. Now, what do you like on your sweet tater? Oh, a little cinnamon. How about a little butter? Oh, that thing just piping hot and melting. Anybody ready for potluck? First thing. Anybody else? Another young person. Anybody else have a favorite vegetable they want to share with me? Okay, go ahead, young man. By the way, you're shaving early for a young man. Did you say Brussels sprouts? Are you just trying to throw me off? You genuinely like Brussels sprouts. What did you do to him as a child? Has he liked them, like, for a long time? Okay. Well, hey, listen. It takes all kinds, I guess. But listen, I want to tell you, growing up, I hated vegetables. Hated vegetables, but I hated vegetables because the people that I was surrounded with apparently had an aversion to using salt. Right? And so here I grow up thinking that vegetables are supposed to taste the way that they tasted, and so I was very turned off by them. I was like, oh, how does anybody eat that? Right? And then I met this young lady. Praise God for meeting young ladies when you're a young man. Amen? And I'm not very bright, but I am teachable, and I hung on to this young lady. She's still with me today. Praise God. I'm glad her vision hasn't got corrected. She's just stayed right there with me. But when I met her, her family ate all kind of vegetables. You see, I didn't grow up as a Seventh-day Adventist. We grew up, you know, didn't have any profession of faith. And so we would eat anything that would stand still long enough, except vegetables. Okay, and so I start going around Ginger and her family, and that's all they're eating. I'm like, how do these people stay alive? And she was like, no, it's good, try it. I'm like, no, I've tried it, I'm pretty sure I won't like it. She's like, no, taste it. Well, I was in that stage, you know, the stage where you'll do anything to win them, right? That stage where, oh, I don't really want to do this, but if I don't eat this, she may not like me. You know how teenagers reason that stuff, right? And so I was like, okay, I'll try it. And I'm sitting there praying I just don't start gagging or do something weird. And I taste it, and to my amazement, wow, this doesn't taste like it does across town. Right? Something's different. Something, I was like, what did y'all do to this? And she looked at me like I had three heads, right? It's like, what do you mean, what did we do to it? We just cooked it. I was like, no, but it doesn't taste like it does when it's cooked over at my house. And so she starts, she's looking at me like, okay, whatever. And she didn't really get it until she came to my house. And we're there, and I'm avoiding certain dishes on the table, right, when the scooping is going on. And Ginger, in, you know, her habit, reaches out and starts partaking. Right, scooping out, making a nice helping there, and then she starts eating, and she has the same shocking discovery that I grew up with. But she was smarter than me. She simply reached out on the table, picked up the salt shaker, and then she ate and smiled. I was like, something's wrong with her. But then she leaned over to me and she said, I know now why you don't like vegetables. I said, please tell me. She said, your grandmother does not cook with any salt, does she? I was like, I don't know. How am I? I'm a guy. Am I supposed to know that? But she said, try it. So she hands me the salt shaker. And now, friends, keep this in mind. You may think that I'm making this up. Ginger, am I telling the truth? God is my witness. This is how sheltered I grew up, not knowing that I needed this. And so she handed me the shaker, and she said, there you go, give it a little sprinkle. Now stir it up. And it amazingly transformed the food that I had been pushing aside for years. And all it needed was what? A little salt. Now, I mean, no, I'm not quite eating Brussels sprouts just because I would do it. But I've eaten Brussels sprouts, right? Certain things I don't like because of the textures, but I eat a lot more vegetables now. And the only thing I needed was that wonderful little component, that wonderful little mineral, salt. It transformed my world of food. Jesus, I believe, is in the business of transforming lives. Could you agree with that, yes or no? Jesus is in the business of transforming lives. And in Matthew chapter 5, and Brother Bob, thank you for the scripture reading. Appreciate that very much. In Matthew chapter 5, go ahead and open your Bibles with me, please. Let's get there together. I'll get my digital brain open here. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll do just a little review. We're not going to go through all of it, but I want you to just kind of see some context of where Jesus is teaching and what he is teaching about. Matthew chapter 5, are you there, saints? Anybody need a little more time? Say, have mercy. Nobody needs more time. Okay, so what do we see here in the beginning of Matthew chapter 5? Jesus is sitting there, he's talking, he's teaching, and he begins going through this list of blessings that we commonly refer to as the what? The Beatitudes. And he starts turning their world upside down. Now, we don't have time to go through the Beatitudes, but he's hitting them with things like, blessed are the poor in spirit, right? Blessed are those who are meek. Wait a minute. You're talking to a people that were oppressed under Roman authority. Were they in the business of wanting to be meek, or do you think they wanted to be liberated? I believe they wanted to be liberated. So Jesus is giving them counsel. He's telling them that there are blessings to be found in areas that they probably would not have been looking to find them. Do you think that's a safe bet, yes or no? Okay, so he gives them this body of teaching. Look at verse 10. Blessed are those who are what? Persecuted. How many of you want to line up for persecution? Straight after potluck, we're going to flog everybody before they go to potluck. No takers? But Jesus says there's a blessing when you're persecuted for what reason? For righteousness. In other words, when people persecute you because you're willing to follow me. And Matthew, I hope that you carry this with you today. There are going to be people, especially in your peer group, that are going to think you're crazy for wanting to live for Jesus. And there's going to be people that will tell you you're a weirdo or that you're this, that, or the other thing because as a young man of 14 years of age, you want to live your life for Christ. Don't let them get you down because blessed are you when you're persecuted for Christ's sake. Amen? So Jesus goes through this body of teaching. He goes through this proclamation of blessings. But then he comes down. Look at verse 13 with me. Now he finds a way that he's going to characterize these believers. Blessed are you when they revile you, he says. Blessed, be exceedingly glad. But then verse 13, he says, you are the what? Now, I can think of a lot of ways to describe folk, but I don't know that salt is what I would have gone to, would you? It seems a little odd to me. I'm giving you these blessings. I've just dumped your world upside down. And now, by the way, you're the salt of the earth. I wonder, why did he choose that? And so what I would like for us to do is just take a little excursion through the Scriptures. Now, the saints, obviously in the time that we're given today, we don't have time to give an exhaustive study on this, okay? But I think we can find a few things in Scripture that give us some hints as to why salt was important and why Christ would liken his body of believers to this substance. He says, you're what? The salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? In other words, if you're salt and you cease to be salty, it's really hard to be salty again, maybe. That's why the title of the sermon today is asking the question, is salt renewable? Let's see if we can find out, right? He says it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So why salt? Well, turn with me, if you would, in the Scriptures. I want to go to the book of Ezra. Do you spend a lot of time in Ezra? Ezra chapter 4. Ezra chapter 4. One of those smaller books. Right? Only 10 chapters. Ezra chapter 4. And let's go down to about verse 14. Let me know when you're there. Ezra chapter 4 and which verse? 14. Now, because we receive what? Support from the palace, it was not proper for us to see the king's dishonor. Therefore, we have sent and done what for the king? Informed the king. So now we don't have time to get the whole context of the passage. That's not why we're here. We're simply looking at a reference to salt. Tell me in this passage, where do you see the reference to salt? Huh? Brenda, you think you're onto something. She's saying the word support. Do you see the word salt in the text, yes or no? But Brenda has uncovered a gem. The word there that has been translated as support, do you know what the word literally means? The word literally means to eat salt. How cool is that? So here we have this little gem, right, that's tucked away there because we receive support. In other words, because we eat the king's salt, okay, they're saying to him, listen, we're not going to do anything that dishonors the king because we're receiving his salt. In other words, he's providing sustenance for us, but the sustenance causes them to be what to the king? Against him or loyal to him? It causes them to be loyal. Listen, this guy's putting salt on our table, right? We don't say it that way, right? We say we're putting food on our table. But salt, he's giving us salt. In case any of you like to do Hebrew word studies, the Hebrew word there is milak, M-E-L-A-C-H. Is how it would transliterate to the English, milak or melak, okay? It simply means to eat salt. So one aspect of being salty for Jesus might have something to do with being loyal to God. Are you with me? Let me ask you this today. And don't raise your hands. Are you loyal to God? And Pastor, what do you mean? I'm asking you, if it comes down to the brass tacks, if it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, are you loyal to God? Or are you playing games with your faith? Because that's really the only two options, right? I'm either being loyal to God, I'm following through with what He's wanting me to do in my life, or I'm playing some sort of game, right? Or we say, well, Pastor, maybe they're in the middle somewhere. I heard somebody say one time, don't straddle the fence belongs to the devil. Right? So you need to be on one side or the other. And if you don't choose to be on God's side, guess whose side you choose by default? Am I being fair with that statement, yes or no? So friends, if you're going to be a salty Christian, I would suggest to you that it is impossible to be a salty Christian unless you are loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us, if we look back on the history of our life, our walk with God, have wanted God's provision without giving God what belongs to Him? Lord, I want Your blessings, but I want to stay in control. Lord, I want Your blessings, but I'll make all the decisions. I'll just call You when I get in trouble. Can I suggest to you that you're in trouble from that very moment? But how many of us relegate God to a first aid kit? How many of us relegate God to a spare tire? When's the last time you looked at your spare tire? Anybody? Aaron's being honest. He said, I don't even know if we have one. I can guarantee you if you find yourself broken down and you have a flat, you're going to be looking for that spare tire, right? Friends, God is so much more than that. Will God be there in emergencies? Yeah, God's got your back. God's there for you. But don't relegate Him just to a spare tire. Don't just put Him aside until you think you need Him, because the truth of the matter is you need Him every day in every way. Be a loyal Christian. Let's look at another passage. Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6. Where are we headed? Job chapter 6. Stay with me. Let's keep going here. Job chapter 6. We got a little bit more ground to cover. A question is being asked here. The question is what, saints? This question reflects my childhood, per my testimony, yes or no? Were there certain foods that I found unpalatable? Is that the right way? Unpalatable? I couldn't eat it. Why couldn't I eat it, or why did I have no desire to eat it? Because it lacked salt. Notice what he asks. Can flavorless food be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? Versus you take that egg and you fry that puppy up in the pan, you sprinkle a little salt on that bad boy, a little cayenne pepper. Where was my girl that liked the peppers? Take some diced peppers. Cut the, oh man, I didn't have breakfast. I'm getting away. Shouldn't be talking about food when a brother hasn't eaten, right? But the point is, there's no flavor there, just in that white of the egg. It's just a substance in your mouth. So I believe one aspect of being a godly Christian, a salty Christian, is you need to have the right kind of flavor. The question is this, though. What flavor do you leave in people's mouths when they meet you? Is that a fair question? Are you the type of substance that when people meet you, you're just kind of bland and you're not very full of life? You're not very interesting from a spiritual perspective? Or are you the type of person that when people spend time around you, there is something bursting out of you that causes people to want to spend more time with you? Are you that type of flavorful Christian? Anybody familiar with Mahatma Gandhi? Are you familiar with some of Gandhi's sayings as it relates to Christianity? And I'm not going to try to quote them verbatim, but there's two of them that I'll loosely paraphrase that come to my mind. One of them was, "Were it not for Christians, I would consider being one." How's that for an indictment against Christianity? Another one, again, loosely paraphrasing, I'm not trying to direct quote here, but another one that I've read before and I'm familiar with is Gandhi said, "I've read your Bible and I've read about your Jesus. I like your Jesus, but you Christians aren't very much like him." Now Gandhi, from all accounts, was one who had a very eclectic religion. Right? And when something's eclectic, it brings together multiple parts from various sources, right? So he had this very eclectic approach to spirituality. He took a little from here, he took a little from there, and that became kind of the hodgepodge of his spiritual journey. And he deeply investigated Christianity, but he found Christians to have the wrong flavor. How is it with you? Have you left a bad taste in somebody's mouth? Has somebody who was seeking to know Jesus turned away from him because you had the wrong flavor? Because I had the wrong flavor? Friends, I don't want to be like that, do you? I want to put the right flavor in people's mouth. I want to be loyal to my God. And notice the building blocks that I'm using here. I will not have the right flavor if I'm disloyal to God. Is that fair? But if I'm loyal to God, there's a greater chance that I will have the right flavor. Yes or no? Let's keep looking. Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 2, please. We've only got a couple more verses. Stay with me. Leviticus chapter 2. And we'll go down to around verse 13. Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 13. And we're not going to get in deeply to the system of offerings and sacrifices. That would be a study for another time. But I do want you to see an important component as it relates to the sacrificial system. Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 13. And how many offerings? Every. Now, when God says every, does he mean every? Let's just take it at face value, right? And every offering of your grain offering. So this is in specific relationship to the grain offerings. You shall season with what? With salt. Okay, it's a grain offering. He wants us to put a little salt in it. Is communion bread better with salt? You ever had bad communion bread? Please don't tell the deaconess that made it. Right? I can tell you, I never had bad communion bread the whole time I was here with Midland or Mount Pleasant. You guys had some good communion bread. But it says, put the salt there. Notice this. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering with all your offerings. How many again? All. First it was every, now it's all, right? So it's a restatement emphasizing the same thing. But you shall allow all of your offerings. You shall offer them with what? Salt. So let me ask you this, as it relates to salt. Is it a necessary commodity? Could the sacrifice be done without it? Not and have God happy, right? How did that work out for Cain? As old Dr. Phil would say, not too good, right? He brought an offering. I would say that Cain probably brought the best platter of fruits and vegetables or produce that anybody's ever seen. I would even go so far as to say Cain's offering was probably organic. Right? It might even been, what's that? I heard another word not too long ago, veganic. I don't know what it means. It's what cool people say when they're wanting the purest produce. I would even say his was probably veganic. But was it what God required? No. And so these offerings, these grain offerings, could not be a complete offering. It was not something acceptable to God if it did not have all the components. So there's a necessary component to salt. Let me ask you this. Are you necessary? Yes or no? Is there any such thing as an appendix in the body of Christ? And I chose the appendix. And I don't have a medical background. I'm not trying to present myself as such. But a lot of people live without an appendix, yes or no? How many of you do not have an appendix? I don't have one either. I lost mine in Iraq. Woke up one Sunday morning, piercing pain shooting through me. Walked a mile to the hospital. Big mistake. I thought I had a stomachache. My buddy said, just walk it off. Okay. About killed me. But the only thing I have left over from not having an appendix is a scar about yay big on my abdomen. Okay, but what I'm saying to you, as a part of the body of Christ, you are not an appendix. Matthew, we did not just baptize you that you would be an appendix. Now, I used another term a moment ago. What was the other term that I used? Pew warmer. Friends, I am familiar enough with the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church that I am fairly certain there are no helium pockets under these pews. You know where I'm headed? They're not going to float off. So if you're not just holding them down, they won't float off. God wants you to be an active member of the body of Christ. He wants you to be a necessary member of the body of Christ. But you're not going to feel necessary if you're not loyal, are you? You're not going to feel necessary if you're not loyal, and you're not going to have a good flavor to you even when you come into the body of Christ. Right? And I don't want to be one of those type of people that are in the church that people avoid because I'm always in a bad mood, right? Always, how are you today? Fine. Obviously. It's not, what's the fruit of the Spirit again? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, right? I should have some joy if I'm a Christian, yes or no? And so I want to be that necessary part. I want you to be that necessary part of the body of Christ. I want you to invest in the work that's taking place here in Midland. Now, Brenda, you and Mr. I mean, the credit roll class, that was awesome. That was credit roll in who? Credit roll in kindergarten. Where did you guys get all these kids? Did you go on Amazon or, I mean, that's a lot of kids that were up front, amen? But friends, that's the lifeblood of keeping your church growing, isn't it? You got to have young families. So I want to say a big hallelujah to each of you that are here as young families, growing families. Thank you for being a part of the Midland Church so that the Midland Church has a future to grow even within itself. Amen? You're investing in this community. Praise the Lord. You're necessary. All right, let's keep moving. Numbers 18 and verse 19. Not only in Leviticus do we see that it's necessary, but it's a prized possession because you cannot have those offerings without it. Numbers what? Numbers 18, and let's go down to verse 19 if you would with me, please. Numbers 18 and verse 19, all the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you and to your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance for how long? Forever. It is a covenant of what? A covenant of salt. Forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you. Now, why do you think they would use salt in a covenant? There's some other qualities. Ah, that was where I was headed. What does salt do? Salt also preserves something. Now, I grew up in the South. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of folk down south don't know about the whole clean and unclean thing. So, yeah, a lot of hog meat gets cured. And I told you, I did not grow up as an Adventist or any kind of Christian. And so I have partaken of said hog meats. Not in recent days. Somebody should have said amen. Adventist pastor not eating hog meat. That's a good thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I remember, you'd go into the store, especially certain times of the years, and they'd have all these salt and sugar-cured hams and all these things. And I remember one time I had a job, and I'm not going to go into deep details, and you'll thank me for this. And I'm going to use the French word. I worked for an abattoir. Those of you who don't know what that is, for the sake of the young children, Google it. But an abattoir is where they take walking animals and turn them into consumable animals. Are you with me? And my job was to keep this place clean after school. And I remember this one room where they would take the cow hides. They'd stack them up in this big area, and they had these buckets of salt. And when they would lay down a hide, they would take the salt, and they'd have to shovel it. It's a big snow shovel. It's the only thing I ever remember using a snow shovel for down south. I found out what they're really for when I moved to Michigan. I'd have to put a layer of salt on these hides. And then the other hide would come in, another layer of salt, right? And so it was just hide and salt. What did the salt do to the hide? Kept it from rotting, right? It had a preservation element to it, okay? And then a couple times a year, it wasn't very often, but a couple times a year, some guy would show up, and I hated it for him, but it was his job to pick up the hides. So he had to dig them out of the salt, but then they were preserved, right, and turned into belts and whatever else we're sitting on or wearing today, okay? It's that element of preservation. So salt not only has a characteristic of loyalty, salt has a characteristic of being flavorful, salt has a characteristic of being necessary, but salt also has a characteristic of preserving what God would have preserved. Let me ask you this. Does God want to preserve you for eternity? Are you happy about that? I'll tell you what, saints. There is nothing in this world worth hanging on to that would cause you to miss out on everything God wants to give you. And I'm going to say this to you. God would not ask you to take anything out of your life except that which keeps you from being prepared for that eternity He wants to give you. So if God says get rid of it, it's not because He's trying to punish you, it's because He's trying to prepare you. Let Him prepare you. One last thing I want to share with you. Back in Matthew, let's close off here in Matthew 5, please. Go back to Matthew 5, and we're back in verse 13 to finish up today. Notice the end result of what happens to salt that is not loyal, to salt that is flavorless, to salt that becomes unnecessary, for salt that has lost its preserving qualities. Notice the end result. He says in the second sentence there, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, part B, it is then good, the salt that does not have salt characteristics, it's good for what? Good for how much? Nothing. It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now friends, I'm not going to take you into a study on the destruction of the wicked, but I do want to ask you, what is the final result of the wicked? Are they off in the corner of the universe, slowly burning and rotisserating for eternity? Now, that's what popular Christianity teaches, but it's not what the Scripture teaches. Amen? What does the Scripture teach? Revelation chapter 20 and verse 9, it says that fire came down from heaven and devoured them. How many of you have seen teenagers eat pizza? You have been witnesses to devouring. How much is left? I mean, I've even seen pizza eaten so voraciously that you know after it sits a little bit, the cheese starts sticking to the cardboard, right? I've seen the cardboard peeled up and ate. When it's devoured, how much is left? Nothing. If you were to go to Malachi, we don't have time to go there, but in Malachi 4, it talks about the destruction of the wicked. They are left as stubble under your what? Under your feet. Obadiah only has one chapter, verse 16. In a reference to the wicked will be destroyed to the point as if they never were. So friends, we're talking about when salt is thrown out and trampled underfoot, are you saved or lost? Here's something I want you to catch. The salt was once salty. Are you following where I'm headed with this? If the salt was once salty, then the Christians were once in a condition where they were in the church. Are you still with me? They were in a condition where at one time they were loyal. They were in the church in a condition at one time they were flavorful. They were in the church in a condition one time where they were necessary. They were in the church in a condition at one time where they were part of what preserved the work of God. But they lost that saltiness. Is salt renewable? Could be, if I don't wait too long, amen? Question today for you is this as we close. How salty are you? Have you been living a life loyal to God? Have you been putting the right taste in people's mouths, in your community, in your home, in your workplace? Have you been chipping in and giving a hand here at church? Have you guys done nominating committee yet, David? It's a work in progress. Oh, this couldn't be better timing then. When the nominating committee calls you, or ministry placement committee, you went back to nominating committee? Okay. Well, I was trying to show my Midland roots here. We used to call it ministry placement committee. But nominating committee, when they call you, are you going to tell them, yeah, count me in, I'll be glad to help? Or are you going to make excuses? No, I don't know all of your circumstances. Pastor, who are you? You're just some guy passing through. You don't know my life. You don't know how busy I am. Show me somebody who's not busy. And with the technology, the phones, the computers, they were supposed to free us up and give us all this extra time. All it did was give us more work to do. So show me somebody who's not busy. I want to ask you this. Do you want to be busy doing the right things? Invest yourself. Be a necessary part here in the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And lastly, I ask you this. Are you willing to do the work of calling others to accept Jesus Christ, therefore preserving the harvest that Jesus is building upon? So today I ask you, how salty are you? In closing, I ask you this final question. And I'll ask the question by way of a statement first. Friends, I am not preaching this message because I'm perfect. I want to say thank you to my family for not saying amen right then. They were thinking it. But hey, the truth of the matter is I'm not perfect either. There's times where I leave the wrong taste in somebody's mouth. There's times when I get tired and I lose my temper. I get frustrated. But I want to be a saltier Christian for Jesus, don't you? So I asked you today, how many of you would like to make a commitment with me and say, Pastor, by God's grace, I want to be the saltiest Christian I can be for Jesus Christ? How many of you would like to make that commitment with me today? Let us pray together. Loving Father, as we bring this service to a close, Lord, today we have been blessed because we've been witnesses to your greatness in Matthew's life. But Lord, we've also been blessed because we've spent time with that which is living and active. And today, Father, I pray that the word would have a powerful and transformational impact on my life and the lives of my brothers and sisters here today. Lord, we want to be loyal to you. We want to put the right taste in people's mouths. We want to be a necessary, active member in this church. And Father, we want to preserve the harvest that many more will be in the kingdom because of the labor we've given. But Lord, we can't do it on our own. On our own, we fail. We fall short. But Lord, with your help, we can be the salt of the earth. And so Lord, today, please renew our salt. If we've been salty in the past and we've gotten a little bland, Lord, please renew our salt. And Lord, I thank you for your patience, for your long suffering, and for your willingness to continue to labor with us. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast @midlandsda.org.